who is Jim Hutchinson? I'm the oldest of four. I was born in 1957. My grandparents farmed. We spent a lot of time with my grandparents on the weekends. As the oldest grandson, I expected to maybe be a farmer when I grew up. I helped out lots during harvest, drive a truck when I was, grain truck when I was only 10 years old. And amongst that childhood, my mother took me to church regularly. My father did not attend church, but he always ensured that we had a ride to church. The only negative thing in my childhood was my father's and my mother's partying, but mostly my dad's alcoholism. As an oldest child, this led to all kinds of problems that I didn't know anything about. As an adult, I found myself always seeking to be approved, I guess. The typical things that children of alcoholics, the problems that they have. At 15 years old, I met Karen and fell in love with her shortly after meeting her at the grade 10 school dance. About a year later, I'd had enough of what was going on in my home, and my buddy was moving to the province next to ours. So at 16 years old, I went with him, and I basically ran away from home. It was just during this time when I was 16 that I began to ask lots of questions about God. They were a Seventh-day Adventist family, and they were able to answer many of my questions, but not all of my questions. That next summer, myself and him moved back to our province, and during that summer, I went to work for a RV, trailer manufacturing outfit. It was there that I met some Spirit-filled Christians, and I began asking them the questions that the Seventh-day Adventist folks were not able to answer. Those young guys were able to answer my questions, and they invited me to what they called was a coffee house. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday night. Going to that event, I listened to a fella, another young guy older than myself, talk about his experience with the Lord and his dealings with drugs and over in Morocco, and God saved him from being thrown in jail forever. And I swore as he was talking, I could see a ring of light around his head. It was probably just the way the light was reflecting off his head. But as a 17-year-old guy who's searching for the Lord, or searching for meaning and, you know, what's God all about, I convinced myself that it was a halo. That Sunday, they invited me to come to church. There was an evangelist there called Lenny Anderson, I think. And that Sunday, I went up on the invitation, and I received Christ as my Savior. It was quite an experience, physical experience. I went up, knelt at the altar, and I prayed the prayer, asked Jesus into my life, and I immediately was released from this incredible burden, and I felt in my mind's eye as if I floated off the floor and rolled backwards, spinning backwards three times. It's just what stuck in my head. It was this release from all of this sin. It was incredible. It was an incredible feeling, actual physical feeling, and this release in my life as a 17-year-old boy. This group was involved in the Jesus People movement. I forget what year it was. Let me try to figure it out. I guess that would be about 1974. That would have been in July of 1974 that I gave my heart to Christ. And then I got water baptized, and before they put me down, they said, "Do you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I said to them, whoever, I think it was the pastor that was doing the baptizing, I said, "I want everything and anything God has for me." And so I went down in the water, and I came up, and as I was coming up out of the surface of the water in this old horse trough, I was speaking in tongues and praising God. And yeah, that was that experience. From that moment on, for the next 2 years, I was in that church. Karen was in that church. And we walked with the Lord. We did all the things that Jesus people did, young kids, evangelizing, taking discipleship training, learning to be Christians as young guys. I even moved into a house back in those days. We'd have a young leader of young guys. There was lots of guys who had broken families and broken situations. So I moved into that that kind of a situation with a house leader and a group, and you know, it was a good time. One of the things that became a stumbling block was my relationship with Karen, and we wanted to get married, and the church had a real tight grip on all these young people, and they were really hesitant to let us get married. They were imposing rules and guidelines and deity guidelines, try to keep us righteous and pure, which was all good. But we saw people that were slightly older than us getting married off, and eventually I was scared I was going to lose Karen. So we just, I had enough of that, and we left that church environment. And we proceeded to get married. Through that, there was a falling away from the church and a falling away from God, I suppose. I never stopped believing in God. I never turned my back on God, per se, of what I understood of God in these first 2 years of my young Christian life. But I would say that I was in a backslidden state and got married in a backslidden state, although not turning my back on God, still wanting to serve God, but yet having one foot fully in the world, you know, drinking and smoking the odd pot, that sort of thing. Over the next 2 or 3 years, I forget exactly how long it is, got married, started having married life, was working remotely from my wife on remote locations, so I'd be away for 2 or 3 weeks at a time working. This strained our relationship and made it more difficult to build our lives together as a married couple. We got to the point where we were just really struggling in our relationship, and then our daughter died. She died from crib death, and that was the catalyst that caused us to just turn right around and just reject the lifestyle that we were in and the dishonesty with each other. And that was the beginning, which brings us right till today. Our daughter's life turned us around. We fully engaged with the Lord. We, you know, prayed the prayer, no matter where, no matter when, you know, we will serve you all the days of our lives. And that's what's happened. So she gave her life in order for us to fully turn ourselves around. I truly believe, or we both truly believe, that had that not happened, we probably wouldn't even be married, and all these 6 kids that we have after her, they wouldn't even exist. They wouldn't have come into existence. Not to mention the 23 grandchildren that we now have.